today's scripture reading will be coming from Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 12. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the works were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should not after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was a past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as sand which is by the seashore innumerable.
I am indeed thankful and privileged to be able to stand instead of God. As a matter of fact, the more that I think about this august pleasure I have in standing in the pulpit, I am just elated, because everyone doesn't have this privilege. Everyone should not have the privilege of standing before the people of God. The reason why is because James said, be not many teachers, for they shall receive the greater condemnation, James 3:1. So we know for a fact that we have an obligation to preach the word. That's what we plan on doing on today, and thankful to be starting this journey together as we grow together. I do want to say from the onset that when you come to worship, when you come to Bible class, bring your personal copy of God's Word. If you can, bring a paper copy. But if you just have to have an electronic copy, that's fine. But bring your Bible. And the reason why is because we're going to be learning the Word of God. Well, you're probably saying, Brother Bonner, we've always learned the Word of God. I know that. But this one thing I do know is that we need to take our time as we come at this specific time to study the Word of God. It's not my responsibility to entertain. It's my responsibility to teach the Word of God. It's our responsibility as we are studying together, to study together. And that's why I want us to start off with this particular passage of Scripture in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 12. I appreciate Brother Mike as he has read the passage of Scripture. And as we are looking at those scriptures, friends, I want us to keep in mind that faith, it is God's ultimate persuasion. It is what God uses to persuade us to bend our will toward His will, to use systematic argumentation, to use reasoning, to use words for what? To get us to do what He has desired. Why? Because it is what's best for us. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, for the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. God desires for all of us to have the abundant life. Now there are various groups of people in here. What do I mean by that? Various ages, grandparents, parents, parents of older children, parents of young children. You are at different stages in life. Y'all give me a few minutes to get started here. And sometimes, friends, because there are different stages in life, I know how it is to have had small children in the house. And I know how it is to have teenagers in the house and grown children. And sometimes there are different struggles and challenges that come with that. I want to say from the onset that the Word of God has the answers. That we come together on the first day of the week to hear a word from the Lord. And no wonder when we consider what the Hebrews writer has to say. Now, we could easily go into verse number 1 and look at this particular text. But friends, let me go ahead and show you something real quick. Notice verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, now let's stop there. Now, why would the Hebrews writer say now? He's saying now because of everything that has been said in the first 10 chapters. See, we go right into Hebrews 11, and we talk about now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But friends, we have to go back sometimes and see, why is he saying now? Really, remember I said earlier that God is designed to use systematic argumentation to bend our will toward his. And this is why when you consider what is going on in the background of the book of Hebrews and how the people of God, the children of God, the church of Christ, some of those members, what they were desiring to do, Evelyn, was go back into Judaism to leave Jesus. Now, friends, if you're honest with yourself, every now and then things weigh down upon you so much that you say, you know what, I'm done with this. So before we look down on our Hebrew brethren, let's take a step back and see, you know, why were they going through these things? So what the Hebrews writer does, he gives systematic argumentation in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and tells them that Christ is superior. He's superior to the angels. He's superior to Moses. Look at chapter 3 very swiftly. In chapter 3, when we consider verse number 2, he's superior to Moses. Why? Because Moses, in verse number 2, the latter part of it says, was also faithful in all his house. But then if you drop down to verse number 6, it talks about Christ, but Christ as a son over his own house. Well, hold on. What's going on here? Here the Hebrews writer, as they are putting all of this stock into Moses, going back under that particular system of religion, he's saying, no, you ought to continue to look to Jesus Christ. He was the one over his house, and he is still over his house, whose house you are. Friends, we are the house of God. Verse 73 and verse number 15, Paul told Timothy, if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Friends, we are the house of God. But then he goes into chapter 4, 5, and 6, and he talks about this priest, this high priest. Oh, yes, he talks about the Levitical priesthood and how they had to offer sacrifices for themselves and for the people. But Jesus Christ did not have to offer a sacrifice for himself, for he never sinned. Oh, friends, why go back into a system that is not designed to deliver you from sin? Stay in Christ. That's the point that he was making. So he brings up Melchizedek in chapter 7 and chapter 8. Going into chapter 9, and we look at some things, friends, as it relates to this very powerful book. And no wonder, notice chapter 10, friends. Notice chapter 10, and I want to notice verses 22-24. Here you're going to see how the Hebrews writer, and you can underline in your Bible, let us. I love that about the Hebrews writer. And the reason why I love that about the Hebrews writer is because he is saying, I am in this with you. You know one thing? We're all in this together. At least we should be, right? We're all in this together. Notice in verse number 22, notice what he says there. He says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of what? Underline that. Faith. Y'all look at your Bibles. Don't look at me. I know I'm good looking, but don't look at me. Look at your Bible. A faith. Now notice what he goes on to say in verse number 23. Let us, y'all see that? Hold fast the confession of our what? Hope. It's interesting. Verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up what? Love. Does that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound like 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 13? As it relates to, now abided these, faith, hope, and love. Great connection there. You know, wasn't the Hebrews writer trying to encourage them to continue to have faith, hope, and love? Shouldn't that be what we are desiring as well? And no wonder he's telling them not forsaking the assembly of yourselves. Is it them missing Sunday morning worship? No, sir, it was them leaving Christ and going into Judaism. But I guarantee you, you begin missing worship, it won't be long, you'll begin leaving Christ. Chapter 11, now. Now, why is he saying now? Because I've just given you all of this evidence of why you ought to continue to look to Jesus. He is the authority figure. He is the one that we ought to be casting our eyes upon, if you will. Hebrews 12. But he says, now faith. Now, Romans 10, verse 17, the Bible teaches us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, we know for a fact that in order for us to have faith, in order for us to have credence and trust in God, that we have to go to the word of God. Now notice what he says here, friends. Now, faith is the substance. He's defining faith of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here it is. For by it, by what? Faith. Elders obtain a good testimony. Now, if you go to the book of Psalms 119, the division 119, you're going to see a plethora of times, probably more than 20 times, the word testimonies. Do you know the word testimonies literally mean evidence? The psalmist understood that if I'm going to have that trust in God, like I really need, I need to believe and trust the evidence. God has given us evidence. God has given these Hebrew Christians evidence on why they should stay in the fold, why they should encourage one another, why they should develop their faith, their hope, and their love. Why is this important for us today? It's important for us today because it's about the evidence. It's about the evidence. And notice what he goes on to say. When we think about this, friends, before I go any further, when we think about faith, and we think about the evidence, write this down. The evidence, our faith, is God's persuasion for our lives. Number two, when we consider the evidence, the righteous man, the faithful man or woman, puts themselves in the position to obtain the faith. Now, I'm going to let you mull over that for a little bit. And the reason why, friends, is because one cannot have genuine faith and trust in God and know that everything is going to work out in their lives if they don't put themselves in a position to learn from God. I see why many are faithless today, because they don't keep themselves in the position to continue to learn from God. The Hebrews writer is saying, and you know, what a wonderful way to start off a relationship. I mean, if we're going to be what God desires for us to be, we have to continue to put ourselves in the position to continue to learn from God, which requires humility. I don't care who you are. You will never, ever get to a point where you can't learn more about God. And the way up is down. And no wonder, friends, when we consider, notice verses 3 and 4. He keeps starting it off by saying, by faith.
Now, this is a very interesting point, Brother Pope Joy, verse number 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds, the ages he's talking about, were framed, notice, not by the logos of Theou, not by the word of God, but by Rhema, by the utterances of God. You know that is consistent. How did God speak the world into, how did God bring the world into existence? He spoke it. The Rhema, the utterances of God. This is the evidence that he's bringing, that the utterances of God is what brought the worlds into existence. And he's saying, continue to believe that. Don't ever forget that. And friends, notice what he goes on to say. By faith, verse 4. Now, I want you, if you can, because this is what I did in my own Bible. I circled 5 things. Verse number 4. Now, friends, we have to learn this because I want to be able to make application here in a minute that can help all of us. And friends, I know for a fact that this is necessary if we're going to be faithful to God and remain faithful to God. Number 1, in verse number 4, circle offer. In verse number 5, circle pleased. You'll see that right before verse number 6. He pleased God. In verse number 7, circle moved. In verse number 8, circle obeyed. In verse number 11, circled judged him faithful. Now this is what I love. I love to see God's people studying. I told my wife, I said, I'm gonna start something different today. It's not my responsibility to demonstrate to you that I can preach. I don't have to do that. I have one responsibility, please God. And in pleasing God, we're going to learn. Amen? Now, how can this better my life as a parent? How does this better my life as a child, as a student, as an elder, as a preacher, as a deacon? How does this better my life? Notice the text, friends. If this is so powerful, it was blowing my mind. Notice what he says in verse number 4. By faith, Abel. Now, this is where the learning comes in. Because maybe you're a new member of the Lord's church. I don't know. Maybe you just obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not familiar with the scriptures. So when you consider Abel, you're probably asking, well, who is Abel? Well, let me give you a reference. Abel can be found in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. Now we're studying, Evelyn. Now we're studying. See, sometimes what we do as preachers, sometimes we take for granted that everybody knows where things are. But we can't take for granted. But why? Because what we're designed to do, Brother Dennis, we're designed to educate the people of God so they can know who God is, therefore they can make good decisions, godly decisions, and therefore be God's moral culture in the midst of an immoral world. That's why we're doing what we're doing. Now notice what he says, by faith, Abel offered. Now, who did he offer it to? Notice the direct object, God. Our offering is not to one another. Our offering is to God. And here we see that we have the same responsibility. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, we have a physical sacrifice that we ought to offer, our bodies. But then turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice verse number 5. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, we have a responsibility as well. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. Notice what your Bible there has to say. You also, as living stones, are being built up, notice, a spiritual house, not a carnal house, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up, there it is, to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, notice, through Jesus Christ. Now, I know some want to pray to Jesus, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying pray to God, but it's through Jesus Christ. And no wonder we end our prayer in Jesus' name. That's why we pray to the Father. And remember in Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, we find Jesus teaching his disciples on how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Friends, here we see Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. But how did he do that? By faith. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Friends, when we come together, this is exactly what we're doing. Here's the point right here. Friends, we have to teach our children to do the same. Young families, teach your children how to worship God. Teach them at home. It's not easy. Teach them. I guarantee you, you will see the benefits later in life. Teach them. Teach them how to reverence God. That's another point. I'll get to that here in verse number 7. Notice, second point. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. Well, where do we find Enoch? We find Enoch in Genesis 5, verse 21 through 24. Notice what was taking place in his life. Was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he what? He pleased God. Oh, friends, did you hear this? Here we see that Enoch pleased the Lord. In John 8, verse 29, the Bible teaches us about Jesus Christ, and he said himself that I always do those things that please him. But turn your Bibles to Colossians 1. In Colossians chapter 1, we see that the Christian has a responsibility and obligation to have their mindset on pleasing God as well. In Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse number 9, notice what the Bible there has to say. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled to the full with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, in order that you may walk worthy of the Lord, what? Fully pleasing him. Shouldn't that be our goal? Shouldn't it be our aim to fully please God? You know what that requires? You read the rest of it to verse number 14. I guarantee you it will bless your life. That requires me telling myself no at times. It requires me being as humble as possible. I love the slogan, the way up is down. The closer to the ground you get in your spirituality, the more God will raise you up. Sometimes, friends, and this is where it helps us. Sometimes we can think more highly than ourselves than what we ought. And this is why we get ourselves in some precarious positions in life. Sometimes we get ourselves in a position that we wouldn't normally get ourselves in because we think of ourselves. But notice something about Enoch, friends, that's very powerful. God took him. You know, one day God's going to take us if we just displease him. You know, Enoch's life was so righteous. He walked with God so close, it's as if God says, you're too righteous, you're too holy to be down there. Come up here. Wow. Now, that's a powerful life. But how did he do it? By faith. Which teaches us that we can live that type of life. We can live a life of holiness, of righteousness, of reverence. That God is our all. That we don't need anything else. The only thing we need is God. And because we need God, we need one another to encourage one another, to help one another, to admonish one another, to rebuke one another. Why is that important? Because one day we want to be taken up, and one day Jesus Christ is going to come back, 1 Corinthians 15, 23 and 24, and he's going to take the kingdom back up to the Father, and there we'll ever be with the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4. 11 through 16. Oh, friends, we got something to look forward to. This man lived a righteous life. And you know what the Hebrews writer is telling us? We can too. Notice the next one. This is probably my favorite. Verse 7. By faith, Noah. We find Noah in Genesis 5 and 6. Being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Here it is. Moved I was interested in that word. And the more that I thought about that word, I said, well, did he just up and go? Did he just start with a hammer and nails? What is he talking about? The word literally means that he acted with precision. Now, brethren, I know this for a fact. Sometimes acting with precision comes after we have made the mistake. Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. It was vitally important that he did exactly what God told him to do. And no wonder in Genesis chapter 7, verses 5 through 9, that he did all according to the word of the Lord. Meaning that when he pitched it with pitch, he pitched exactly what God told him to pitch. He brought all the measurements to the exactness of what God said. Which means that he didn't take any liberties to cut any corners. Which means that when we consider building our house on the foundation of God, friends, we cannot cut any corners. We cannot cut corners when it comes to worship. We cannot cut corners on our jobs. We cannot cut corners in our marriage. We cannot cut corners nowhere. He moved with godly fear. Hebrews writer, why are you telling us these things? Because to live by faith, to walk by faith, to be a person of faith is going to require that we walk circumspectly. Ephesians 5 verse 15. Look at Luke 8 verse 18. I want to show you something. This is a direct correlation to moving with godly fear. Jesus in Luke 8 tells those individuals at this particular time, be careful how you hear. I remember when I was a kid and I didn't do what mom and dad said. And they used to say, boy, did you hear me? Yeah, I heard you. Then why didn't you do what I said? That's an interesting point. Take heed how you hear. That's exactly what the Hebrews writer is teaching those Hebrew Christians. Take heed how you hear. Look at Noah. Notice how he built the ark to the saving of his house. He prepared the ark, which teaches us that we ourselves, as we are walking circumspectly, let me go ahead and teach y'all this real quick, especially our young people, slow down in life. When you slow down a little bit, you're able to see all of the picture. But when you're running real fast, you miss things. Slow down a little bit. That's one thing I love about the ministry of Jesus. And we find Jesus going from one city to the next, one town to the next town, to preach, to heal, to help. And you find him walking. Why? He didn't want to miss any opportunities. Sometimes we're running too fast that we miss opportunities. Can't walk circumspectly if you're always running. It's good teaching right there. Slow down a little bit and allow God to help build your life. All right? Friends, that's good teaching. That's going to help you. Sometimes we can make decisions and then we take a step back like, I wish I wouldn't have made that decision. Here we find Noah being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. But notice the next one, verse 8. Friends, notice what Abraham did. Abraham, which is found in Genesis 12, verse 1 through 4, obeyed. Jesus teaches us that we ought to obey him, John 14, 6. We understand that obedience literally means to walk in the light. Why? Because God is light, 1 John 1, 5. But here, Abraham obeyed. Notice, when he was called to go out the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Now, friends, when you think of an inheritance, think of something permanent. All right? Right now, friends, if we're not careful, we can lose our salvation if we don't continue to walk in the light. But here we see Abraham as he was going toward a city, going toward a place. He knew for a fact that the inheritance was in front of him. He was looking for that permanent location. Notice what he goes on to say. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. Here it is, dwelling in tents. You see the contrast? Here's the contrast, friends. Here we find Abraham dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. We have Abraham dwelling in temporary locations, looking forward to the permanent location. Uh-oh, y'all missed that point. You know, this body we live in is temporal. But sometimes we want to please this body, but it's temporal. We have a new body, 1 John 3, the first three verses. We know we're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 and following. We know this for a fact. Shouldn't we be living our lives in this temporal body, looking forward to the permanent body? Friends, this is all temporal down here. Here we see Abraham as by faith, he was looking toward that inheritance. He was looking toward that house, looking toward that city, looking toward that place, but he had to dwell in tents while he was here. Notice what he goes on to say. The heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city, which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Here we find Abraham as he was living in the already, looking forward to the not yet. You know, sometimes since we can't wait for the not yet, we try to make the not yet already, but you can't make the not yet already because the not yet is not here yet. Y'all go ahead and smile on that one. Sometimes we are looking so far down the road that we can't appreciate what God is doing for us right now. Let's slow down. Let's encourage one another. Let's build up one another. Let's love our spouses. Let's love our children. Let's love the brotherhood. Let's do everything that we can to bring in lost souls that they may be encouraged, that they may see the sin that they're living in and desire to come out of the sin that they're in, that they may see the cross of Christ and desire to be baptized into Christ, that they can look forward to that city whose foundation maker is God. But notice this one right here, Sarah. Friends, we often talk about the powerful men of the Bible. But what about some of the powerful women of the Bible? As a matter of fact, you sometimes see certain women in the scriptures having more faith than some men. Deborah, Naomi, Ruth. Here, the Hebrews writer brings up Sarah. Notice what he says. By faith. Remember, faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child. Now notice, when she was past the age. Now, some of y'all already know that y'all are past age of bearing children, right? Just go ahead and go like that. God was going to do the unimaginable. See, God was going to bring forth a seed, and that seed was going to be Isaac, not Ishmael. Now, we have some that are trying to teach that Ishmael was the promise, but no, Ishmael was not the promise. Ishmael, according to Galatians chapter 3 and 4, was of the bondwoman. Isaac was of the free woman. Notice what he goes on to say. She was past age because she judged him faithful, just like Jesus. Jesus committed himself unto God because he was faithful, 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 23. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9 that God is faithful. Can God be trusted? Let me go ahead and say this. We can trust God. It doesn't matter what we're going through. Here's the question. Has God given you enough information in the scriptures to persuade you to walk with him? Has he given you enough information in his word that when you have an opportunity to live a moral life in the midst of an immoral world, that when people ask you certain questions concerning morality, you can say, I can give you an answer. As a matter of fact, let me invite you to Bible class. Let me invite you to worship. Come on over to the house. Let us spend a little time together. Why? Because I want to use God's persuasive word to persuade you to have a better life. Because if your life is better, then your family life is better. And if your family life is better, then you're looking forward to the life that God is going to give you. Wow. Faith. God's ultimate persuasion. But I got to leave you with this. There are always going to be those that it doesn't matter how much the evidence is overwhelming, are going to have a desire to go back to Egypt. God gave so much evidence to the people that it was no reason whatsoever for them to go back into bondage. People, brethren, God has given us so much evidence. Let us never go back into bondage. Amen? Let's not do that. Let's stay with God. Let's learn about Him. And the more we learn about God, the better our lives are. The better our lives are, the more at peace we can live. Do you have peace in your life? If you don't, we want you to. But the only way you can have peace is to be with God. That's one thing I love about just straight Bible teaching like what we had last week. And how we just looked into the Word today. We can get it straight from the mind of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 9-16. Whatever you're dealing with, that's why we're here, the family of God. No, we're not just members. That's not just a person I go to church with. When you weep, I weep. When you rejoice, I rejoice. When we hurt, we all hurt. At least we are supposed to. So friends, we are a family. Let's make sure we stay a family. Let us pray. Great God and Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the people of God here at 9th and Main. Pray, dear Father, that you be with her elders, her deacons, the members. Bless us all to do thy will. We love you and we ask that you be with those who are hurting among us, those who think more highly of themselves than what they should. We pray, dear Father, that we'll all bow down to Jesus Christ. For we know that he is our leader, our head, our protector, our guider. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. The only way you can be a child of God, that you can demonstrate that faith through persuasion of the word, is to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. To repent of your sins, to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to his Son's church, the Church of Christ, and the only thing you have to do is be faithful. Revelation 2:10. God will give you the crown of life. You'll hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Don't you want to hear those words? As a matter of fact, to not hear those words is to be a loser of life. But Jesus said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for a soul? Oh, to not have nothing in this world, yet hear those words, is to be a winner in life. Which one do we want? Some say, I want both. Ain't nothing wrong with that either. But if you're not a child of God, we want you to hear those words. And brethren, if you're struggling, let us pray for you as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.